This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and we begin with the Gulf of Mexico, where BP, as well as the U.S. government, have announced that the ruptured oil rig off the Deepwater Horizon platform has finally been shut down. The cap has been tested and has been found secure, no oil currently leaking. So as long as the pressure caused by the oil still trying to get out doesn't somehow rupture that cap over the ruptured rig, the worst of the damage has already been done. The capping comes some 86 days after the explosion on that Deepwater Horizon platform back on April 20th. Still, the debate over the best policy of how to proceed in the Gulf of Mexico is still raging. As we've reported, President Obama now imposing his second consecutive moratorium on deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, which is also effectively spreading to leases on drilling anywhere in the Gulf of Mexico, not just in the deep waters. And that has many local officials very upset, as well as other members of Congress. Arizona Republican John Shadegg spoke with me earlier on Thursday, and he is a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. He says after the president's first moratorium was shot down by two different federal courts, instituting another one, which may even be more broad than the first one, is sheer arrogance.
They imposed a new moratorium, which at least some argue is broader than the original moratorium. I think that's inappropriate. I think it's unjustified. And quite frankly, again, I think, as I said in the press release, it reflects arrogance.
Shadegg also says the Obama administration recruited top-notch scientists to determine whether it was smarter to let the rigs keep being operated or to shut them down for the sake of worker safety and environmental protection. He says the experts sided with keeping the rigs in operation, meaning the Obama administration bucked the advice of their own experts. Shadegg says the economic toll on the local area and the nation as a whole is huge, much larger than any potential environmental benefit.
What also needs to be done to protect or to look out for the nation's economy? We have a lot of people suffering right now in this nation because government's done a bad job of handling this economy. I think this moratorium is excessively broad and will do more economic damage than it will environmental good.
Shadegg says every moment this moratorium is in place means America is more dependent on foreign sources of energy. Shadegg also taking off the gloves towards the Obama administration in reaction to a question I asked him about the comments made last week to me by Louisiana Senator David Vitter, who suggested that it's possible the Obama administration is using the BP disaster as the three-mile island for the oil and natural gas industry. Shadegg says Vitter is largely right, and it's clear to him that President Obama is much more concerned about his agenda than cleaning up the mess.
If oil prices go up, and therefore gasoline prices and other energy prices go up in this country, the people who will be hurt the most are those who make the least. And it appears that President Obama doesn't care. The way he is handling this crisis is to do just what Senator Vitter suggested, and that is advance the president's agenda of forcing us to try to rely on other forms of energy.
You can hear my entire interview with Congressman Shadegg at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While you're there, you can also hear my conversation with David Gardenstein Ross of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We have an in-depth discussion about the best way to define our enemy in this war against terrorists or Islamic extremists, whatever terminology you want to use. The Obama administration is certainly reluctant to use the word Islamic in describing our enemies. Is that smart, or is it just realistic to use that term in describing what this fight is all about? Also there at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org, my weekly visit with John Gizzi of Human Events. He will explain why the Democratic infighting between the White House and House Democrats is actually getting worse and how that's likely to play out on the campaign trail. Gizzi also offers a prediction on whether or not Democrats in the Senate will get their cap-and-trade legislation approved before the August recess. As for Thursday's work in the Senate, by a vote of 60-39, lawmakers approved the Democratic version of a new package of regulations for Wall Street. The plan calls for tougher oversight. It says there's no more too big to fail, and there's the creation of the new Consumer Financial Protection Agency to be housed within the Federal Reserve. Critics, though, say that this will simply perpetuate the bailout mentality, that it gives the government far too much power and will limit consumers' access to credit at their local banks. Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch explained today why he believes the Democrats are clearly on the wrong track economically.
We need regulation in this country, but not what we're doing here. My gosh, this over-regulatory bill that we're going to pass today, or they're going to pass today, I should say, is going to really cripple the country. You know, the only people who believe that this administration has created 2.5 million jobs, which is what they're claiming, are the people in the White House.
Again, the final vote 60-39. They were also able to get 60 votes to get over the possible filibuster attempt by Senate Republicans, but three Republicans flipped over and voted with the Democrats. They are Scott Brown of Massachusetts, Olympia Snow, and Susan Collins of Maine. Over at the White House, though, much celebration. White House Economic Advisor Austin Goolsbee telling MSNBC that this bill solves a whole lot of problems that got us into the most recent financial crisis.
I think it's absolutely critically important for the future of this country that we sign that into law. It's going to protect any consumer that's getting a mortgage, that has a credit card, that's getting a college loan, or anything of the sort. It's also going to end bailouts. If a financial institution gets in trouble, they get broken up and sold off into pieces. It's going to bring derivatives out of the shadows. It's really fundamental to reforming the system. And leaving the status quo is not good for business.
As you just heard a moment ago from Senator Hatch, many people very skeptical of the administration's claims that the stimulus package is directly or indirectly responsible for about 2.5 to 3.5 million new jobs since it was signed into law in February of 2009. Still, the president claiming success and going on the road today to Holland, Michigan, in the western part of that state, to explain why a project there that creates batteries for hybrid vehicles is a look at the new economy in this country.
Because of advances in the manufacture of these batteries, their costs are expected to come down by nearly 70% in the next few years. That's going to make electric and hybrid cars and trucks more affordable for more Americans. And that not only means more jobs, but it also means we're going to be less dependent on foreign oil.
That's a look at Thursday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.